Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Youth. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Richard Villanueva brings forth the Word of God.
Let's go and get into this. Now, Hebrews 12, we're going to wrap this up. Set it on fire. That's what I'm talking about. Somebody's getting up in this place. Hebrews 12, verse 28 through 29. Go ahead, put up there. Boom, right there. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Next verse. For our God is a consuming fire. Not a little flame or a little poof, little spark, but God is a consuming fire. A fire that cannot be stopped, that cannot be contained. Sounds a little familiar, like I just heard that or something like that. God is a consuming fire. See, God is not and never will be satisfied with a little bit or most. God will never be satisfied with a whole lot. God will only be satisfied with everything. God will only be, look, I'm not saying God's greedy. I'm just saying he deserves everything. In my marriage, I would not be satisfied with half of my wife. Look, it's not like I wouldn't be satisfied if my wife got the weekends off, all right? Wouldn't be satisfied if she's like, I'm putting in the paperwork for my 2-week vacation from you. Would not be pleased with that. I am a consuming husband. I want all my baby. You know what I'm saying? And in the same sense, God desires to consume your life. Because when we really look at it, of all the things that can consume your life, whether it's a video game, whether it's your studies, whether it's a boyfriend, a girlfriend, whether it's a hobby, of all the things that can consume your life, whether it's a job, a sport, of all the things that can consume a person's life, the only thing that can consume and will consume your life that'll leave you better, stronger, faster, smarter, and blessed is God. All other fires, all other things that consume your life just won't satisfy. But God is the one who desires us. Now, in Hebrews 12, 28, go ahead and flip it back there real quick. It says this. It says, therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You see, I mean, we prayed for it, but you know, does everybody know what happened in Boston this past week? Does anybody not know what I'm talking about when I referenced that? Does nobody not know? Okay, a couple of you guys. Really? You guys need to read the news, man. CNN.com. But it absolutely horrible. There was a bomb that went off at the Boston Marathon, and it just went off. Two bombs went off right at the finish line, near one of the busy times of the race and everything. People hurt. It was just ugly, ugly things happening. And, you know, see, this is why we're talking about this today. This is where the rubber meets the road. See, if your life is consumed by something, when your life is shaken and it begins to fall apart, what it is that you are consumed by is what you will go to for your comfort. That's why people smoke weed, because not just because it gets you high, but because it helps you forget the problems of your life. That's why people get drunk, not because it makes it gives them the warm woo-woos in your tummy, but because it's something to do to distract you from the pain. Or the problems or the issues. See, that's why people do these things. That's why people run to things, whether it's girls or whether it's relationships or whether it's an image or something like that that we have. When we're consumed by these things, we run to them. But the Bible tells us that those kingdoms can be and will be shaken. But when you're consumed by God and your world begins to shake, when we see things like disasters, when we see things like terrorism, when we see things like family tragedy, when you're consumed by God, you're consumed and your life is held up by something that cannot be shaken, no matter how hard or difficult or horrible the situation is. That's why God says, "Let me consume you." Because when God consumes your life, he begins to put away the things that will drag you down. Those things burn up and turn to ash in your life. And the things that are valuable, the things that are worthy, the things that make you the best you that God designed you to be, those things begin to shine and sparkle. Those things begin to get white hot in your life. And they begin to change you and those people around you when you do that. You see, that's what God means when he wants to consume. You see, today I want to talk to you about something. I want to talk to you about the subject of the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is definitely, see, the Holy Spirit is a subject that not a lot of people fully understand. It's kind of weird, kind of strange, but all it is God. See, the Holy Spirit's not an it. It's not
the force. You know, it's not like, you know, Darth Vader. It's not this woo thing that happens at, you know, the old kind of church meetings. You know, the Holy Spirit is God. It's Jesus in heaven. The Holy Spirit's here with us.
When we say God's in this room, the Holy Spirit. When you feel that tugging at your heart, says maybe I should pray. I don't know. Should I? Yeah, probably should pray. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the part of God. That's the finger of God tapping you on the shoulder. That's what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is God's fire, to put it in a sense. When you feel the excitement bubble up on the inside of you, when you sense the presence of God, for those of you who can say you have, that's the Holy Spirit. When you get the inspiration on the inside of you to do great things, that's the Holy Spirit. When you were depressed and all of a sudden now you have this unspeakable joy inside of you, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the fire of God. And a person whose life is lived by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is a person whose life is on fire. See, if you truly were to be, as the saying goes, on fire for God, that means your life is not lived by your flesh. It's not lived by your wants and desires. You're living by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. You see, look, if you've been here for more than 2 weeks, you've heard us talk about it. But you don't get saved because of you. You get saved because of God. Because nothing I can do is good enough to earn my way to heaven. Look. There's nothing I can do to make God like me more. I can't be pretty enough. I'll never be pretty enough for God to like me. You know, I can't be smart enough. I can't even pray enough for God to like me more than he did yesterday. Just like I can't do enough things to make God not like me. Because God's love and like for me is based off of him. But see, it's the same way when it comes to you living for God. So if you got saved, if you're going to heaven, if God likes you, because of him, then you're going to stay saved. You're going to be a great Christian. You're going to follow close to God, not because of what you do, but because of who the Holy Spirit is in your life. Think about that one for a second. If you weren't the one that got you saved, why would you be the one to keep you saved? Now, I know this is kind of an interesting subject, but it's true. See, the Bible says that when we live by the flesh, the only thing we get by doing works by our own power are things we don't want, because my power is not enough. So for me to get closer to God, I have to rely on God's power to get me there. See, so we need to live by the Spirit each and every day. Well, I don't really fully understand. Let me do this. Go. Let's do this. Let's talk about this. Go to Luke, the third chapter. If you guys got your Bibles, go to Luke, third chapter. Go ahead and put it up there. Luke 3:16. Bam. Not John 3:16. That's another good verse. But Luke 3:16. John the Baptist is in the river. He's there in the river in his nasty old clothes with his grungy old haircut. Brother looked like a nasty old hipster before they were even cool. So all of a sudden, there he is. He's dunking people. Sh-poosh. Sh-poosh. Dunking people left and right. Baptisms. Sh-poosh. I'm sure brother was so bad he could do it double time. Two at a time. Married couples. That's what he was doing. And he was dunking people left and right. And he was baptizing people. And then he begins to talk and preach in the middle of the river. And he begins to talk about the Messiah. He began to talk about the Savior coming. He says, John, the people saying, are you the Christ? Are you the Savior? Are you the one who's going to rescue us? He says, the people were in expectation. They reasoned in their hearts about John. He said, who is this guy? I kind of like him. So John says, I indeed baptize you with water, but one, capital O, O-N-E, one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. It would be above me to untie his shoes. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and the fire. See, baptism is a submersion. We had baptisms this last weekend, and people just left and right. I mean, I was baptizing people, and it was just, bam, and we're going all the way under because we don't, like, you know, sprinkle. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. Dunking people left and right like my name was, like I was Kobe or something like that. Just, bam, baptized. Maybe not. I don't like Kobe. Anyway. I don't even watch basketball. All right. But he says he will submerge you, engulf you, surround you, fill you, be dripping you off of the Holy Spirit with fire. It's this picture of a full consuming sense. You don't got to turn over to Acts 1:4. Let me turn there for you. Read it to you. In Acts 4, Jesus is getting ready to ascend. He's died. He's been crucified. He's been buried. He's resurrected. He's been walking around eating breakfast with people. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, all right, guys, my time here is done. I've got to go to the Father. I've got to go sit at the right hand of the Father and be there. Oversee and watch all of creation. He says in Acts 1:4-8, he says, but before I go, here's some final instructions. The last thing I need you guys to know, he says this, being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. He says, stay where you're at, don't move another inch, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me that I talked about. Because John, remember we're talking about John the Baptist, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit now, not many days from now. He says that he was dunking people in water. He was getting them all wet, head to toe. But he says, soon you'll be head to toe, inside to outside, with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit of God. They asked him, said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They didn't get it. They thought, oh, this is a physical thing. Cool. We're going to be out of here. And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or season the Father's put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. You see, here's the thing. Is Jesus said that when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, he says, when you live by the Spirit of God, you have power. What's the deal with that power? Here's what it means. When you can't get over something, you have power. When something is too difficult for you to do, you got power. When you feel weak, alone, and powerless, when you feel like you can't even live or run your own life, like things are just happening to you, like the world has just dumped a bucket of cold water all over your excitement, you have power. The Bible says that when there's issues in your life that you cannot seem to get over, or sin in your life, or habits that you're just like, gosh, every night I feel like trash, and I feel so bad, and I think God doesn't even want to look at me. The Jesus said when the Holy Spirit's a part of your life, you have power to do these things. When you say, I want to do something good, I want to do something important with my life, I want to do something great, the Bible says, Jesus says, you will have power to speak to people and see lives changed. Hey, that sounds kind of neat. That sounds like something I want to sign up for. That sounds like something that my life needs. Because I got issues, and I got problems, and I've got situations, and I've got crazy family members. And I've got dreams in my heart that I want to do. I want to, when they put me under the dirt, I want to leave a mark, and I want people's lives to be different because I breathe this air around me. And Jesus says, oh, you want that? How about you have some of this? And he says, baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, when you look at it that way, it's not weird. It's like, oh, is that what I've been looking for? Is that what it takes? Is that the secret sauce to the double-double? All right then, what's it gonna do? See, you're saved and you're living for God, I believe. Now it's a matter of the Holy Spirit to be a part of your life, because there's too many depressed Christians out there. There's too many Christians out there. There's too many people who follow Jesus, but their life looks the exact same as it did before. because they're only running on half a tank. You see, God's called to say, look, if you're going to do this and go the full distance, man. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in our life. See, God's called us to live by the power of the Spirit. And your spirit, look, your spirit, your heart, the part of you that makes you, you, is what connects with God. It's not a feeling or an emotion. That's what it is. You see, when the Holy Spirit's a part of your life, when you live by the Spirit, all of a sudden, you have the power to live a life that's on fire. See, the Holy Spirit, his whole job is to give us strength. The Bible has this word to describe the Holy Spirit called the Comforter. And a lot of times we think Comforter, when I think of the Comforter, I think it's like a hug. They're there, you know, here, mijo, they're there. That's what I think of. But the Comforter is not just a they're there, mijo. It's something more. It means to Comforter, it means when someone comes forth and gives you strength. A Comforter is an encourager. It's someone who puts you in courage. They give you the courage that you need to stand up and do something great today. That's what Holy Spirit is. It's like a shot of adrenaline right to your heart. Bam! The Holy Spirit is the one that allows you to do what you've been called to do. Makes you strong enough when you didn't think you were. You could even say, in a sense, he's like the training wheels that'll ensure that you don't fall when you're trying something big. The Comforter, the encourager, the teacher. That's what he does. See, he empowers. He sets your life on fire to do great and amazing things, to do mighty things. See, it says in 2 Corinthians, you don't got to turn there. 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, where the Lord is, so is the Spirit. Where the Spirit is, there's liberty. The Spirit, when you live by the Spirit, when you live in the Spirit, when you're following after God, when God's presence is a part of your life, it says there's liberty. The chains and the things that have been holding you back, you're free from it. What are you hung up on? Well, you need liberty. Oh, you need the Holy Spirit. You need God's power in your life. That's what you need, because where the Spirit is, there's liberty. There's freedom. So anytime you're feeling chained up, you've got to get in the Spirit. You've got to begin to set your eyes, your mind, your heart, your life on the thing of God. Romans 15:13, you don't got to turn there. He says, God has given you joy. He's given you peace. He's caused you to be able to believe that why you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He says that you would abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of God. That's the strength. That's the oomph to get you going where you need to go. So where do you feel weak in your life? Because wherever you feel weak and dumb and powerless, wherever you feel less than, the Holy Spirit wants to give you hope in that area. He wants to give you peace. He wants to strengthen your faith so you can believe him. That's what the power of God is for. Where you feel weak in your life. Because there's a lot of people out there who feel weak, and that's why they bully other people. A lot of people out there feel weak, and that's why they starve themselves. There's a lot of people out there who feel weak, and that's why they feel like they can't be single, because they need another person to validate them. If you feel weak, then you need you don't need a relationship, and you don't need smaller size pants. What you need is the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what you need. You're just looking in the wrong department. If you want, you could turn here. In Ephesians 3:16, it says this. The other 3:16 here, Ephesians, it says, it wraps up, it says that God is strengthening you in your inner man by the Holy Spirit. He says, grant you according to the riches of the glory, strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. The part of you that makes you, you. Look, if I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to talk to you from my mouth to your ear. I'm going to talk to your outer man. The cute part of you. That's what I'm going to talk to you. But see, you don't see God face to face. You see God spirit to spirit. So God's Spirit talks to your spirit, makes your spirit strong. Your spirit gets strong. All of a sudden, you're strong from the inside to the outside. The outside of you gets strong because the inside of you is strong. Even the strongest part, even if the outside of you is strong, if the inside of you is weak, you're still weak. But if the inside of you is strong, even if the outside of you is weak, you are strong because that's the part that matters. Does that make sense, or am I talking too fast here? If so, if I am, that's too bad. Just listen to it online. Bam, whatever. All right. See, The Holy Spirit, when you live in the Spirit, you have the power to live a life that is on fire, that is consumed, that has no time for foolishness, only time for things that matter. And I hope tonight I'm talking to the right people in this place, because I see some blank stares in here. I know it's not you guys. It's the other guys, you know. But I hope I'm talking to the right people in this place tonight. And then all of a sudden, you have the power to live a life on fire. And then you have the power to speak words on fire. It can be said of you that this girl is on fire.
See, okay, I know that wasn't that funny, but some of you laughed just because you like me. All right.
See, if that's you, then the words you say, look, the Bible tells us this. The words you say, they will either cause life or death. And that's true, because if you've ever told somebody bigger than you something stupid, you know that you had death punch you right in the face. All right? The words you say, they'll either give you the future you want or the future you never wish was handed to you. So if you can get the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, if you can live your life according to the Spirit of God, and he changes the way you talk, then you've just set your whole future up for something amazing. You see, in Jude 20, you guys have it put up there. This is what it says here. It says, no, that's the wrong one. That is the right one. Go back. 20 is what I want to get to. But this was, I was like, whoa, that's rough stuff. But he's talking about all these ways people live their life. How they told you that there would be mockers, and the last time they walk according to their ungodly lusts. Verse 19, that there's these sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. People without the Spirit, they live the only way they can, is they live by the flesh, by their senses. This feels good. This doesn't feel good. I want what feels good. And then you do what feels good, it makes you not feel good, and you're like, I don't want this anymore. They live by their senses. And that's not the way the Spirit causes us to live. You get jacked up, you live by the things you want. And all you have to do is eat too much, and you know that's wrong, because you feel sick afterwards. You can't live by your senses, your flesh. It says they don't live by the Spirit. Verse 20, it says this. It says, but you, me and you, us, people with the Holy Spirit, build yourselves up in your most holy. I know I need faith, but most holy faith? That sounds pretty good. That's like supersize me. Why not? I like French fries. More French fries? Sure. Faith, I like that. Most holy faith? I'll take two. Build yourself up in the most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Gosh, darn Holy Spirit shows up every time something good happens. Maybe it means something. I don't know. That sounds like that could go in a theology book. Bam! Right there. Praying in the Holy Spirit, the words that we speak. If you guys underline that, turn to Acts 19. I won't make you turn no more pages, but I got another verse or two for you guys. In Acts 19, the Bible says this. Acts 19, verse 6. Paul's praying for people. It says, Paul laid his hands on them, the people. They just give their hearts to the Lord. As the Holy Spirit came upon them, they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Prophesy. Change their words. When you prophesy, that's not like, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt find a wife and moveth to Africa and be a missionary and eat bugs for the rest of thine life. I mean, sure, that can happen. Don't get me wrong. Because it happens all the time. But that's prophecy means you're speaking God's words. Look, church word made normal. Prophecy means you speak God's word. When you read the word over your life, you're prophesying. You're speaking God's word. See, when you live your life by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit changes the way you talk about yourself and your life. And you don't curse yourself with your words. You bless yourself with the words because they're the words of God. See, Jesus said in Acts, the first chapter, verse 4 through 8, you don't got to turn there. Don't got to put it up there. He said, don't do anything until you get the power of the Holy Spirit, and then I want you to go talk. He said, the Holy Spirit, he said, don't say anything, don't do anything until you get the Holy Spirit. Because as soon as you live in the Spirit, then I want you to talk. Open your mouth and just let it go. And it happened, and people's lives got changed. Let me get the band up here real quick. See, the Holy Spirit changed their words and set their words on fire. They spoke the words of God. They began to prophesy, which every person in this room can do. If you would begin to read your Bible and let God tell you what to say. Every person is repeated. There's nothing woo-woo, nothing mystical about it. It's just speaking God's word over your life or somebody else's life. See, when someone is filled with the Holy Spirit, when someone lives by the Spirit, they have a desire to say God's word, to speak God's word. He said, as soon as you guys get this gift I'm giving you, then I want you to go out and I want you to share the gospel. I want you to share the word. I want you to tell people how much Jesus loves them. And I want you to tell them what God wants to do in their life. And all of a sudden, bam, 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 left and right. People are like, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I need to hear. They begin to say, oh my gosh, you know, I'm sick. Will you pray for me? And they got healed. Things begin to happen in their lives where lives begin to get changed because of the words that they spoke. And then Romans 8, 26, 27. You don't got to turn there unless you really want to. If your fingers aren't tired. I'm going to read this last verse to you and we're going to go on to this next part. Romans 8, 26, 27. The Bible says this. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. There we go. God's power. When we're weak, the Holy Spirit makes us strong. We do not know what we should pray as we ought. Have you ever thought, I just don't know what to pray because everything's so jacked up? I mean, I know what I want to pray. Kind of like how I feel about this whole situation on the East Coast. I know what I want to pray, but God, kill people is not a very good point now. God, I hate my mom. Send her away, very far away. Or turn my brother into a salamander now. That's like magic. Those prayers don't pray those prayers, please. Don't. But the Bible says that when you pray in the Holy Spirit, He helps you to pray exactly what needs to be prayer. He says this, the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. See, the Holy Spirit, when you pray in the Holy Spirit, when you pray by God's Spirit, you find out what you ought to pray. And God somehow makes the words that you say mean exactly what they need to mean. That's the way it works. You see, when you live by the Spirit, not by your flesh, not by your will, not by your way, when you do what God wants you to do, when in the center of God's will, when the Holy Spirit and God's presence is with you, your life changes and your words change. And because your life changes, your words change. Because your words change, your life changes. And all of a sudden, it's a little circle that keeps on going, that makes things work. I don't know about you, but I want some of that. So if you guys got anything out of God tonight, let's give Him a praise. See, that is exactly what we need. We need to be set on fire. But you see, the Holy Spirit only comes into your life. You can only live by the Spirit if you first done something with your spirit. The Bible tells us our spirits are dead, that we are dead in sin, that we're far from God, and there's no way to connect with God because of sin in our life. So it's not until you deal with that first issue, it's not until you deal with that first issue that you can go anywhere with the Spirit. I mean, could you imagine trying to blow dry your hair if the darn thing wasn't even plugged in? I know, you just get a sore arm and your hair would be frizzy as all get out. Because there's no connection. See, in our lives, it's the same way when it comes to God. We hear a message like this, we think, oh, that'd be really cool, but you're not even connected. You've got to do first things first. As silly as it sounds, it's exactly the way that some of us live our life. we pray and we don't get answers. Why? Because you're not even connected. We have these problems and issues. We might even want to be close to God, but because you've never dealt with this first issue, you'll never get to where you need to go. So the question today is, where do you stand with God? Oh, Pastor Richard, I'm okay. Well, what makes you think you're okay? Well, I don't know. I'm a good person. Good people are okay with God, right? No, they're not. You see, if you want to be okay with God, if you want to consider yourself a Christian, look, if this were to be your last day on earth, and if you want to go to heaven, you've got to be right on God's terms, not your terms. And if you look in the Bible, God never said good people go to heaven. Because the truth is, we'll never be good enough. It's not how good you are compared to somebody else, it's how good you are compared to Jesus. Perfect. No, none of us cut it. But Pastor Rich, I go to church. I was baptized. And that's cool too. But look, you can come to church all you want. You can be baptized. You can memorize parts of the Bible. But the truth of the matter is, as good as those things are, if you look cover to cover, nowhere did God ever say any of those things would get us to heaven. Look, guys. Look. We've got to do this God's way because it's God's heaven. So being good is not going to cut it. Coming to church, I mean, look, why do we think coming into a building and listening to some Mexican kid talk about a book, sitting in Christian chairs and singing Christian songs, why do we think that'll make us a Christian? That's like saying that I'm going to go to McDonald's and one day I'll turn into a hamburger. Look, the building doesn't mean anything, guys, because that's all on the outside. See, God wants more than the outside. I got that covered, Pastor Richard. I believe in Jesus. I like Jesus. I believe in God. I'm not an atheist or any other religion, so it doesn't count for something. And yeah, that counts. But guys, look. It's not about what you've done with this up here. It's what you've done with this in here. You see, bottom line, is God's not after you just to learn a couple things, to know about Him. Jesus wants you. God wants you to know Him. So don't miss heaven by 18 inches. You see, Jesus said He wants to consume our lives. He used a word called born again. Born again, contrary to what you've seen on those or read in magazines, it's nothing strange or weird. It just means that you've given all your heart and all your life to God. So if that's you in this place, and you've never given all your heart and all your life, if you're a Wednesday or a Sunday Christian, hey, that's cool, man, but that's not what it takes, because God's not after Wednesday and God's not after Sunday. He's after every day of the rest of your life. Remember what I said at the very beginning. God doesn't want some of you. He wants all of you. So that's the question today, is have you given all your heart and all your life to Jesus Christ? Because if you haven't, you're not going to make it. Well, that's rude. I know. I'm sorry. But isn't it time somebody love you enough to tell you the truth no matter how rude it is? I mean, aren't you tired of somebody just kind of saying things that just make us feel good? When the truth is, you really need to know the truth. Look, if a car was racing at you and you didn't know it as you were crossing the street, somebody rudely pushed you out of the way, I don't think you'd mind. So today, hear the truth that Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you. He rose again for you. But today, He needs you to make a decision to give all your heart and all your life. So if you've been running from God instead of to God, I'm talking to you. If you've been living your own life instead of God's life, hey, I'm talking to you. If you've never done this before, I'm talking to you. Look, if you want to go to heaven, but you're not too sure if you're going to make it, I'm talking to you. Let's make sure tonight. If you're thinking, well, I'll just wait. I got a lot of things I got to do. I got a lot of fun I have to have. Well, I'm going to tell you that's... I'm going to tell you. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. You don't know how much time you have. And that's not a scare tactic. That's the truth. I can tell you this. I gave my heart to the Lord 17 years ago. I don't regret one moment of it. There's not one party I'm sad I didn't go to. There's not one kegger I'm glad I'm sad I missed. There's not one thing. I'm telling you this. Best thing I ever did was give my heart to the Lord when I did. So take it from this short 31-year-old man. If you need to give your heart to the Lord, do it now. You won't regret it. Front to back, side to side. I'm talking to everybody in this room. If you can hear my voice, I am talking to you tonight. If you need to give your heart to the Lord, I want you to give your heart to the Lord. Tonight, God is not going to make you go to heaven. He's going to allow you to choose where you want to end up. So if that's you, front to back, side to side, if you're in this place and you need to give your heart to God, if you've been running from God instead of to God, if you've never done this before, I'm talking to you. If you need to give your heart to God, I want you to, on a count of three, get your hand up, put it right back down. And when you put your hand up, you're saying, that's me, Pastor Rich. I need to give my heart to God. You put your hand up, you're saying, that's me, Pastor Rich. I want to make sure I go to heaven. So if that's you, all across this room, on the count of three, I want you to get your hands up. And let's make a decision on the count of three. I'm going to go on two, three. It's like that. If that's you, if you need to give your heart to God, I'm telling you, don't waste another moment. Get your hand up. Ready? One, two, three. Let me see. Who needs to give your heart to God? One. Who else? Who else? Who else in this room needs to give your heart to the Lord? You can put your hand down where I see you. Anybody else in this place? Look, I embarrass him. I won't embarrass you. Who else in this place? You know you need to give your heart to God. You're not too sure. You're thinking.
We want to thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.